Good morning again, everyone. If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be looking at that a wee bit later this morning. Let me just pray for God's word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Almighty God, that you would speak to us again through your living and active word. Lord, we talk about how we love your Bible, we love to read your Bible, and we want your Bible, Lord God, to be very much a part of us. But Lord, that means we have to apply what it says in our lives. With the strengthening power of your Spirit, we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to apply the Word of God in our lives. Lord, we want it to be the sure foundation upon which we stand. We want it, Lord God, to be the fire that burns up, Lord God, the dross in our lives. We want it to be the hammer that smashes down the strongholds in our minds and in the hearts and the minds of others, Lord God, that we speak your word to. We pray, Father, please, that we would love your word, and that, Lord God, your word would completely and utterly transform us, change us from glory to glory on a daily basis. Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word this morning, and open up our ears, Lord God, to hear what it is that you're saying to us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing now in this series, What Shiloh Believes, and this is number 31 of What Shiloh Believes. And at the moment we're looking at Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead. And I was saying last week that a quarter of professing Christians who were asked in a survey, and I think there was about 2,000 Christians with brackets and whatever around the name Christian, but 2,000 professing Christians said that they do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. A quarter of those professing Christians said they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, only 31% of Christians who believed in the resurrection said that they actually believed the Bible version of the resurrection. I don't know if there's any other version. Has anybody ever heard of another version of the resurrection of Jesus? Well, anyway, 31% of Christians who said that they believed in the resurrection said they believed the Bible version. So 69% of people who believe in the resurrection don't believe the Bible version, which is a really interesting thing. And one alleged, and I say alleged because these people sometimes just really annoy me, one alleged Christian cleric said, although the resurrection of Jesus is fundamental to our faith, that doesn't mean it happened exactly as the Bible says. Today, God's word is under attack more than ever before, but it's under attack within the church. Born-again Christians, as I said, need to know in whom we have believed, that's Jesus, but also what we believe, so that we can avoid instability in our walk with God and avoid being bewitched by false teachings. And I can tell you now, over the 20 years that was mentioned here by Cyril's prayer, over the 20 years in this fellowship, we have watched Christians being bewitched and led astray from the teachings of the Word of God to go into false churches in and around this town. We have watched people who profess to be Christians being so easily duped by the evil one, and they've walked out the door never to come back again. Don't think that it couldn't happen to you. The only way to prevent that is to know not only in whom you have believed, but what you believe, to avoid instability in your walk with God and to prevent you from being bewitched by false teachings. In Shiloh, we believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I'm going to say something here and you're going to be shocked, right? You're going to be really shocked. But it's Shiloh after all. But here it is. One day, you're going to struggle with this, but one day, I'm going to die. Now, I know, I can see people already getting their hankies out. People laughing behind their hands, and others thinking, well, I hope it's sooner rather than later. But one day, I'm going to die. And I was just thinking about this. And honestly, I was just thinking about this morning, because anybody who's seen me get my pen out and writing, it just came to my mind this morning. One day I'm going to die. What testimony will I leave behind? What testimony will I leave behind? Do you know the only testimony that I think that's worth leaving behind is that people will say, he may be dead, but he's alive because of Jesus. He may be dead, but he's alive because of Jesus. Do you know the Sadducees, and people always use this, and I'm going to rhyme it off to you. The Sadducees were a religious sect, and do you know why they were called the Sadducees? Because they were sad, you see. And they were Sadducees because they were a Jewish religious sect in the days of Jesus. And this is what made them very sad. They didn't believe in any resurrection whatsoever. Never mind Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead. And that's what made them sad, you see. They did not believe in any resurrection. And it's hard to imagine that, you know, when we have the teaching that we have. Within a few years of its establishment, false teachings had already begun to permeate the church, particularly false teachings about the resurrection. Now, you can nearly be sure that part of that false teaching stemmed from this religious group who were the Sadducees, who were trying to undermine the teachings of Christianity and trying to undermine the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You can nearly find its roots in the Sadducees. This false teaching was starting to spread, and the Bible talks about, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Once it gets in there, it starts to spread like wildfire, and it begins to affect people. There was then, and there is today, those within the church who don't believe in Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead. Now, before we look at our readings this morning, I want to point out something, because it was very clear last week what I said, but I just want to point out something. Any person thinking of becoming a Christian, or any Christian, may totally, perfectly question the beliefs of Christianity. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Any person thinking about becoming a Christian, or any Christian, may question the beliefs of Christianity or examine the Word of God. In fact, we encourage that here all the time. We will say, just don't listen to what I'm saying. Go and check these things for yourselves. So it's okay to question the beliefs of Christianity and to examine the Word of God. It's okay to be inquisitive about doctrines and to be unsure or unclear about what you believe as you try to understand. This is perfectly normal. In fact, it is healthy and it encourages growth and understanding. But any person, be they Christian or not, who attacks the Word of God to undermine it, to disregard it, to cherry pick it for their own agenda, can't be a born again Christian. That's my personal view. They can't be a born again Christian. The Christian life is a life of faith. Not blind faith. We're not people who blindly walk with God. We have people who believe the Word of God. We can see God in creation. We can see and meet with God in our times of fellowship. So it's not a blind faith. The Christian life is one of faith, but it is a life of faith nonetheless. And there are times that we may not understand things about Christianity and about God's Word. And that's when we apply faith and trust that the Lord will make things clear in His time. We must not dare, do you hear that? We must not dare to minimize, compromise, or bastardize God's Word, to devalue it, because we just don't understand it. Let's read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're reading the first 11 verses. The Apostle Paul writing says this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep or some have died. After that, he was seen by James, that was the head of the church at the time in Jerusalem, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. The Apostle Paul formed, or founded, if you will, the church in Corinth. This letter that you see here to the Corinthians, and he writes another letter to them as well. In fact, there's a big argument that maybe a third letter has gone missing. But the Apostle Paul, he founded the church in Corinth about 20 to 25 years after the death and the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Now, that's not a long time. So between 20 to 25 years after the bodily resurrection of Jesus, he had founded the church in this great city, Corinth. Previously, when you read the letters and you read the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find out that previously, Paul had traveled with a guy called Barnabas and another guy called John, whose surname was Mark, preaching the gospel from Antioch in Syria to Cyprus and on to another place called Antioch in Pisidia, through a place called Perga, Derbe, and Lystra. And on his second journey, that was his first journey, on his second journey preaching the gospel, Paul this time traveled with Silas and then Timothy. And traveling together, they visited various churches that they had previously established. And eventually they moved on to Athens and to this place, Corinth, where he meets Priscilla and Aquila, and he could really relate to them because they were tent makers, and he decided to stay with them, and he made tents to earn a living and to be allowed to feed himself in that sense and to be able to stay there and to preach. And he continued to stay with them preaching the gospel in the local synagogue until there was a split, and then the Corinthian church is formed. And that's not an unusual thing. We went for 3 years before Shiloh came about. We went to a place called the Basement on High Street. You went down the steps underneath the shop, and we went to the basement there for 3 years, and there was a split for whatever reason I'm not going to go into now, but I was a cause of it, as you can imagine. But anyway, there was a split, and lo and behold, God in his grace and his mercy formed or founded Shiloh Christian Fellowship. And as Cyril was saying, you know, it's 20 years this year that Shiloh has been going, and I just think that this is amazing that God has done this. And I know that Sandra has talked to me about, you know, doing a celebration for these 20 years, but it's 20 years of celebrating the glory of God, 20 years of celebrating the amazing grace of God. But 3 to 5 years, listen to this, 3 to 5 years after founding the church in Corinth, false teaching had started to creep in and was causing great confusion. And one false doctrine was, there is no bodily resurrection of the dead. Now, where did that have its root? It had its root from the Sadducees, who were Sadducee because they didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. In fact, they didn't believe in any resurrection. And Paul wrote this letter, 1 Corinthians, to address this issue and a number of other matters, reminding them again of the gospel which he preached and which they believed. And it was a simple message of good news. That's what gospel means. Gospel means good news. And Paul was just wanting to remind them of the simple message that he had preached. And so what does he say? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the first point that he wants to drive home to the Corinthian church. And down through the years, as this became included within the canon of Scripture, within the Bible, this was the truth that Paul wanted people to know, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's telling us Jesus came to this world, that he died by crucifixion to pay the price for our sins. He died so people might be free from the reign of Satan, sin, and death, and be brought back into a right relationship with God. All of this, Paul tells us, all of this had been foretold from the Garden of Eden. You're probably sick hearing this in Shiloh, but as long as God gives me breath, you're going to keep hearing it, that from the Garden of Eden it was prophesied that one would come who would crush Satan's head. And so Jesus had been foretold, the coming of Jesus into the world had been foretold in the Scriptures, and Jesus came and fulfilled every shadow and type and prophecy concerning him. Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to how God had said it would be. But look at what he says next. So simple. And it's always encouraging to hear a simple gospel message, because the gospel is supposed to be simple so that planks like me and others can understand it. Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was buried. Now, let me be clear, that does not mean that he was buried as we suppose in our culture. He wasn't buried in a dugout grave or placed into one of those types of graves that some Jewish cemeteries have, where they actually bury you standing upright because they're waiting for God to come and pull you out of the ground like this, like you're plucking carrots. You know, he wasn't buried as we suppose in a dugout grave, but the dead body of Jesus was taken off the cross, and it was laid in a tomb belonging to a man called Joseph of Arimathea. And we were talking about this in the Bible study on Wednesday night. Jesus' dead body was sealed inside the tomb, and it was guarded by Roman soldiers. So Paul has told us a simple message. Christ died for our sins in accordance with God's word, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried. And then he says this: the third day Jesus rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. God had foretold this would happen. The third day Jesus rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures. The Bible doesn't give us all of the mysticism or the weirdness or, you know, the witchcraft or the, you know, the nonsensy stuff that people think should be associated with this. There's nothing like this. It's simple. The third day Jesus rose again from the dead. It simply tells us, after 3 days in death, whatever that means, and it's not our place to try to work it out, after 3 days in death, by the power of the Spirit of God, Jesus was raised back to life in bodily form. That's simple enough. You're not asked to pick it apart. You're not asked to see if you can get it all to fit the way your mind needs it to fit before you believe it. You're told simply, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. Now, if you start to have doubts about that, Paul then drives home his next point. Paul tells us, Jesus was seen by Peter. There's the first witness that's going out from Paul's point of view. We know the first witness was Mary Magdalene. But Paul is saying that Jesus was seen by Peter. He's driving a message home to the Christians in the Corinthian church, saying to them, there is a resurrection, and Peter is proof because he saw Jesus physically back from the dead. Then he drives home another point. He was seen by Peter. He was seen by the 12. You know, I'm assuming that those 12 were the 12 disciples. So Judas had gone, but they had put another in his place. He was seen by them. Then he says this, But he was also seen by over 500 other people. Now, let me tell you this. If my ma, some of you know my ma, right? And God, please don't let it happen. But if my ma came back from the dead, right? And I came to you and said to you, my mum came back from the dead. I was talking to her last night in the house. You'd say, phone a doctor. Phone a doctor. Fill him full of Seroquel, quetiapine. You know, he's psychotic. If someone, the mayor of Bangor, came and said to you, all the garb on, said, seen Myla last night, she is back from the dead. You think, there's no way he would just make that up. You could understand that Taddy, he's a liar, but in a head case. But the mayor of Bangor. Well, what about if 12 people from Shiloh came walking in on Sunday morning? She's never going to believe who we bumped into. Myla, she's back from the dead. Now, she's only back for a short time just to let us know that there is an afterlife. Imagine if 12 people came in and told you. You'd start to actually think, God, this could be true. But what if 500 people came from all walks of life and says, we bumped into Myla Gordon, we seen her. We seen her, she was like, we touched her, she was real. We gave her a bit of fish and she ate it. She wasn't a ghost. You would believe it. Then, of course, to really put the icing on the cake, he says, and James saw him. That is the boss. That's the top guy in the church in Jerusalem. That's the commander. And when the commander says he's seen him, you don't argue. The commander's always right. So, what do you do? And then, of course, Paul comes in very humbly and, of course, seen himself. Me, the least of all the apostles, I saw him too. All of these people are witnesses to the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, let me tell you something. If it was against the law for Jesus to be back from the dead, all of these witnesses are enough evidence alone to have Jesus sentenced to death. There's more than enough evidence just here to tell us and to tell people watching on Facebook and listening to the podcast that Jesus Christ was bodily risen again from the dead. All of these people witness to this truth. This is the simple gospel Paul preached throughout all of his missionary journeys, and he had a number of missionary journeys, and it was this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're all sinners, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, his dead body was laid in a tomb. 3 days later, his dead body was brought back to life, having been raised from the dead. He was seen alive by many witnesses. There's salvation, therefore, for whoever will confess their sin, repent, and believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believe in the resurrected Jesus. How simple is the gospel? How simple is that message to everyone here and to everyone watching on Facebook and listening to the podcast? There is salvation. Your sins can be forgiven if you will simply repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, who is risen again from the dead. This is the simple gospel that Paul preached. And I thank God that 2,000 years later, it is the same gospel that we preach here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. Christians need to understand these truths are fundamental. They are essential. Abandon any of them. Please listen to this. Abandon any of them, and we no longer have God's gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is as essential for salvation as his death on the cross is. So let me ask you, Christian, do you understand this morning that your salvation isn't possible without the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead? All bar one of the disciples of Jesus, including the Apostle Paul, were put to death for testifying to and preaching the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Before their martyrdom, they suffered persecution, hardship, and great trials as they sought to spread God's good news of salvation for all who believe in Jesus. You know, nowadays we witness, as I've said, the greatest attacks upon the Word of God, upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, by what I call professing, fickle, wishy-washy, so-called Christians within the church who try to minimize, compromise, or bastardize God's Word. These same people, they know nothing of persecution for the name of Jesus, and they preach a gospel contrary to what the Apostle Paul preached. And he said in Galatians 1, verse 8, these are the words. Do you think Taddy Gordon's hard-hitting? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1, verse 8, and I reiterate his words today. He said this, but if even we, Paul himself and the disciples, if even we or an angel from heaven, Joseph Smith getting ruled out here instantly, even we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you other than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Do you remember what an accursed thing is? Something that is detested by God and devoted to destruction. Rocky said this morning about a different gospel being preached. And it's true. There is a different gospel being preached throughout this town. The church is under attack. The Word of God is under attack like never before, and it's happening within the church. There is a different gospel being preached in many churches of Ireland right across this country. They will preach a gospel that says, as long as you are confirmed in the Church of Ireland, you're saved. It is a lie. It is a false gospel. You can go to a Catholic church and a Catholic church will tell you that unless you partake in the Mass and in the indulgences, you cannot be saved. They tell you you must be a part of the Mass. You must be a part of the worship of Mary. You must be a part of the indulgences, and no one outside the Catholic Church can be saved. It is a different gospel to the gospel the Apostle Paul preached, and therefore it is an accursed thing. You're told in churches right across this town and across this land, if you do good works, you will be saved. If you get baptized as a child, you will be saved. If you give of your money, you will be saved. These are all false gospels. They are all different gospels to the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. And therefore, whoever is preaching it and what they preach is an accursed thing. If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And an accursed thing is something that is hated, detested by God, and devoted to destruction. Christian, being witnesses to the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead was a pivotal requirement for men to be selected as apostles to preach the gospel. We have loopers in the church professing to be Christians who think because they've got a ring of confidence around their throat that somehow that allows them to just strip away the Word of God whatever way they so please and to preach whatever message they think they want to preach. When the apostles were required to believe and to witness the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and I believe that it is essential that any person getting into a pulpit, any person going to lead a church, it is essential that they believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead before they dare to think that they could preach the gospel. You know, it was considered so vitally important that many Christians from the early days of the church down through the centuries have given their lives to uphold this truth and to declare it to all. Without the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there is no salvation for anyone. Now, I want you to listen as we draw this to a close to the words of Bishop J.C. Ryle, and I'm not going to say anything on what he says, it's self-explanatory. Bishop J.C. Ryle says this, we need not wonder that so much importance is attached to our Lord's resurrection. It is the seal and headstone of the great work of redemption which he came to do. It is the crowning proof that he has paid the debt which he undertook to pay on our behalf, won the battle which he fought to deliver us from hell, and is accepted as our surety and our substitute by our Father in heaven. Had he never come forth from the prison of the grave, how could we ever have been sure that our ransom has been fully paid? Had he never risen from the conflict with the last enemy, how could we have felt confident that he has overcome death and him that had the power of death, that is, the devil? But thanks be to God, we are left in no doubt. The Lord Jesus really rose again for our justification. True Christians are born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They may boldly say with Paul, "Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yes, rather, that is risen again." Christian, in light of this and the truth of God's word proclaimed by the disciples and the apostles of Jesus, what is your belief on the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Mine is, the Lord Jesus really rose again. Maybe this morning there's someone here and you're not yet a believer, not yet a Christian, or you're watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, just let me tell you that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That includes you. He came into the world to save sinners from the reign of Satan, sin, and death. He died for your sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. His dead body was laid in the tomb. But 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. I tell you today, as the apostles preached in their day, there is salvation for whosoever will confess their sin, repent, and trust in Jesus. The Word of God says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God's Word also says that if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him again from the dead, you shall be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you this morning again as we look at this truth on the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And we emphasize again that Shiloh Christian Fellowship believes in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, from the dead. We don't want, Lord God, any false teaching to creep into this church, Lord God, that would take away such an essential doctrine. We ask, Lord God, that as individual Christians here this morning, we would take a hold of this doctrine, Lord God, and cherish it. We may not fully understand it all, Lord God, but we just pray, please, that we would have faith in your word, Lord God, and faith in you, and that you will make things clear in your time. Thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross and died according to the scriptures. Thank you that you were buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that on the third day you rose again from the dead. And we today, Lord God, many years later, we who know you and love you are witnesses and testify to the truth that Jesus Christ is risen again from the dead. We bless you, O God. Amen.